Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Well, good evening, friends, and thanks again for tuning in to Raising Expectations this Monday night, which is your show, talks about, and I got that special Y again, talks about what God's doing in the lives of people all around the world and the people that we know here in our country and the people that we've known in different states and all over the place, as the song goes. We are excited to be able to share with you things and then to have you talk about them like you do and get back to us because we love to hear what you think about them. During the program tonight on the different venues that we are on, the different areas that you can find us, you go ahead and feel free to leave a message if you like. Some of the messages are great, but there's room for more if you want to send them in. And then when we look back through them, we'll be able to correspond and work with you and talk to you and kind of share some of your excitement, the things that you've shared about in some of those text messages. So we'd look forward to that very much. We'd love to count you as family. You all know we're born again believers. We believe that Jesus died from the cross for our sins and he rose from the dead and he's coming again. But the reason we have this show is because in the meantime, between rising again and coming again, he's walking every day with you and me and the things that we do in our lives. So we're excited to be with you tonight. You know the team. I'm quickly, just so you'll get a chance to remember, in case it's your first time, we have on the West Coast, we have Dr. Paul Hall, who's in Lompoc, California, which is near Santa Barbara. Paul and I have been friends 50 years. Paul's a retired pastor. He's a Bible scholar, he's a professor, he's a counselor. Shoot, I could go on and on, but Paul's been a brother and a good friend of mine and for 50, I think he said 55 years. It's been a real long time. So what we're going to do tonight is we're going to start on the West Coast, and that's Paul. And Paul's also our scribe. He writes everything down because we're excited to tell you, along with the books we have out, we're coming up with one that he's going to be directing that will tell us the story of our program over the first four and a half years. And what all the guests were and what they shared and what they said. And I hope it'll have a great impact on a lot of people and bless a lot of lives. So if you leave California, we go to Texas. We'll stop on the way because Ron won't be with us tonight. Ron has a special engagement. We're excited. It's his wife's birthday. So we're excited for that. And they'll have a special time together. And I think that's a really important thing. And we all rejoice with them. Those are memory makers in our lives, those times with our wives and with our kids. So as we look at that, we go a little bit further to the south part of the East Coast. I'm going to say it like that. I nailed it. And they live there in Georgia, Dalton, Georgia. I got to say Georgia, right? And they're one of the most wonderful couples you ever meet. The Thayers, Stephanie Thayer and Dr. Craig Thayer. Stephanie there on the left, we tell you every week because it's true. She's the world's best when it comes to health and understanding. And if you look at her page and see the things that she puts up there, wait to see her chicken soup. It's going to be great. I mean, I could almost smell it when she told you her secret recipe. It's really good. And I'm sure there's spiritual value to that too, but we won't go into that right now because it looks so good. Man, I tell you what, didn't that look good for Tank? You probably saw that one. So yeah, there we go. There's Steph's page, and there's a picture of it right there. Immune boosting chicken soup. I love it. Perfect title. Immune boosting. So anyway, you want to check her page each week and see what she's doing there. And we're excited she's with us. Keeps us all in shape and keeps us away from fudge a little bit. But moving a little along, the good-looking guy on her right there, that's her husband. That's Dr. Tank Thayer, Craig Thayer. He is a Oh my goodness. He's a surgeon, a trauma surgeon, a general surgeon. He's also an author. His first book was called Saved. And it's a great book. His testimony talks about what God's done in his life. I love hearing about how God works in the ordinary things of our life. And he's extraordinary. He's the kind of guy that if you went through school with him, you'd never forget him. Right, Tang? I mean, Tang had so much fun with guys. He's the kind of guy that just... you'd want to be in his corner until the teacher came. But it's a fun time. You got to read his book and see the things that God's done in his life. Saved by Craig Thayer. You'll want to get a copy. That's on our website. And there's my book also. I hope you get a copy of that. My life story from singing with Glenn Campbell and Frankie Lane way back in the day all the way through to discovering legitimate faith, as Zig Ziglar taught me, takes place by putting together what happens in your life and seeing the hand of God through it all, like that old song. Through it all, we learn to trust in Jesus. We learn to trust in God. Hopefully that will encourage you in what you're facing in life today. They're both on there. We'd love to have you get a copy of that. So we're going to do something a little bit different tonight. Now, most of you probably know about Secret Service things. They're very, right? Sometimes you get called to do things that you don't know until the very. And our special guest tonight, when our engineer TJ called to check on a couple of things, we don't know, but whoever she is protecting and taking care of, she can't get away yet, and she couldn't wait to be with you. So we're going to bring her back in March for you and make sure she gets to share this story with you. And we were looking at each other because we got the four of us here, and all of a sudden we had a couple of thoughts, and then Stephanie had a great thought. You might remember Tank went to Uganda as a doctor, a surgeon, a mission, a bringer of the word, a bringer of the word, the truth, and the light through Jesus Christ. And what a great story, the great things that happened. And I was going to bring him a little farther down the road here, but he said he'd go tonight and testify and share some of the things that God did. And let me tell you, when you hear from somebody you know what they go through for the cause of Christ, it really encourages you to, one, be thankful for them. Two, remember God has things for each of us to do, just like you're going to hear from him. And when we all pull together, we're going to do the work of God and see lives changed, nations changed. And our friend over there in Laban, Barry Ishma, got a note from him again today sharing about Tank, their school. They put the school and everything up and the church and the mission, and they have their first uniforms for all their kids. First time they've ever had that. He knows about Tank. He knows about, you'll probably be hearing from him, but he's going to do a great work there also. So our special guest tonight is more special than ever because you know him. He's your friend. He's part of your family. He's our family too. And as I often say, to a great wife and a great marriage, Stephanie did a great job working on him because he came out so good. Very, very good work. Tank, would you bless us and tell us about your trip to Uganda? And I'm going to turn this over to you. We can't wait to hear about it.
You bet. Appreciate the opportunity. So
amen.
For those who don't know where Uganda is, it's part of Africa. And north of it is Sudan, which is still a tribal community and still under warfare. They have probably the richest land in the world, and they can't produce anything because they're at war. To the left, or maybe west, is the Congo. To the right is Kenya. And below, kind of more west, is Rwanda, which is, there's a very popular book that's been written about its transformation and history. And what it went through to do that. So, and I forget the name of the book, but they came out of poverty, witchcraft, voodoo, and really are an amazing country. But Uganda's just north of that. And it's just an amazing country. They're mostly Christian. Interestingly, about every 3 miles on the major roads that are paved, there's a mosque being built. So the Muslim nation is trying to kind of move in, get people to go to the mosque, learn their religion, and eventually they're starting to work on schools so that they can influence the kids, which is, I think it's one of Orwell's books, or actually I think it was also Hitler's book on Mein Kampf. how he influenced kids to get into the Nazi Germany mindset. So, but that said, I went October 10 or 20th and came back October 30th. I knew that the country would not allow me to use my hands as a surgeon. So I was going as a regular doc. I was going to see in two clinics people. The first one was in a church. The second one was in an actual clinic that was being built by the group that was helping us go, which was World Health. It's a world organization, but they do a ton of medical mission or mission trips. It doesn't all have to be medical. But yeah, so if you're ever curious about going on one, that would be a group that I think is well vetted to use the money well for the right purpose and to get you to help people. So the first clinic, I think we saw. So we get there about 8. We set up. We start seeing people probably about 8:30, 9 o'clock, and we probably saw almost 2,000 people. Now there were local docs that were there with us, so that was great because one, if you saw something that did need surgery, like a hernia or something else, they knew how to refer it. Now, the medical system is social, so everybody's supposed to get care, but that's not really the case. So the big hospitals are overwhelmed, and just with general medical stuff, not COVID anymore. It is a land that has experienced HIV and AIDS, which is interesting. I think I diagnosed malaria is another very popular disease. Probably 8 people with malaria, typhoid, which we never see anymore because we get vaccinated. Probably about 6 of those. And then I think the most compelling person I saw that day was this lady who looked like she was probably in her late 30s. And her, they fill out a form that has their symptoms, complaints. She had about 6 of them, but the biggest one was that when she'd walk about 10 feet, her heart rate would jump up, and she didn't know why, and it was scaring her. And then, as I sat there, she had 3 kids with her. She was dressed in a purple gold, beautiful, satin dress with puffy shoulder sleeves. She looked like a princess. I mean, it was that royal color, and so I just started asking her questions about how she got rapid heart rate. Was she going up a hill? Is she short of breath? Just general medical stuff. And then she had long sleeves. I kind of looked at her hands and I said, something's different. And then I looked at her form, and in the upper right-hand corner, it had HIV. And I asked her, do you have HIV? And she said, yes, I do. And I said, have you been treated? And she brought out a box that was old of what she'd taken in 2020 and hadn't been on it since. HIV never goes away. Magic Johnson has HIV. He's on medication. If he goes off, he dies. So same with this lady. So I started asking her about her children. She has 8 children, a husband that died from HIV, and I think she has one family member, an uncle that helps. She can only get 3 kids to school at a time. She can only feed 3 kids at a time. She doesn't even feed herself. So I realized. I asked her to pull her sleeve back, and she was so thin you could see the bones in her forearm.
Oh
I
my.
said, how much weight have you lost in the last month? And she said, probably 30 pounds. So I sat there as a surgeon, so humbled, because I had nothing personally as a surgeon to offer for even medically, other than knowing that this is a totally impoverished country, it's third world, that so what came to my mind was, I asked her if she was Christian and of faith, and she says they'll say this in Uganda that they're born again. And I said, that's great. So, and I don't know if the church had the resources at this point or not, but I said, you need to turn to the body of the church, to the pastor, and ask him for help, both with the kids and with food and with medication for HIV. Because really, just knowing, I mean, I was going through med school when HIV came out in 81. So we didn't know what it was. It took time to figure out what that was. And I knew she had probably about 6 weeks to live. And so she thanked me, but I stopped her and I said, can I pray for you? So I grabbed her hands and we had chairs and like a desk in between us. And I just prayed for her and said, you know, please save this Jesus. You know, you have the power to heal. Please heal this lady from her HIV. Please find resources to make her well. Take care of her kids, keep her kids safe and fed and going to school, blah, you know, and I went on. And then she, the look on her face to see an American, a lighter skinned person pray for them, I
Wow.
can't describe. Later on in the day, I do get a chance to ask the pastor and the lady who's running it, who's in the health system there, if they do have resources. She said, oh yeah, we have supplements that we can give the whole family. We have the HIV we need to look into as far as the medication. But yeah, so and I don't know what the ripple of that was, because you leave and but I made it a point to, at the end of every, even when I diagnosed and I could write for medication because they had a pharmacy to give, they usually lasted 4 weeks when they were there. They would give them probably a 2 month supply or whatever. If it was a treatment for typhoid, it would be the treatment to get rid of it. But yeah, I'd stop and pray for them and just ask Jesus to heal them. And again, who knows what the ripple is? It's like, I'll probably never know, because. But so that was that clinic, and then we went to the other one, which was in a rural clinic. This was one that was being built by the church that we used to be at. Well, part of the church was donating part of it. So, World Health and a part of our church were building an OB center and a surgery center. But the OB center could be, because if they're doing C-sections, they've got an operating room, but they don't have that bed yet. So I thought they were further along than that when I went, because I was going to help them figure out stuff, but they weren't. So, and there we probably saw well over 2,500, because they came from villages all around us. And yeah, just humbling. I mean, it's interesting. You know, like all the guys would have back pain, because I go, well, what do you do for a living? If you like, oh well, I'm, you know, lifting all these things, and I go, okay, why you got back pain? But they're looking for pain meds. Usually, we had on the formulary we had Tylenol and ibuprofen, so no narcotics. But I mean, the people there, it's amazing. So there's one big paved road that goes north and south and east and west, and any road right off of that's just pure dirt. And so the taxi system are these motorcycles that have an extended seat on the back called Bota-Botas. And I mean, if you thought the Tour de France start was crazy with 10 teams of eight people all at once, and they, you know, if someone makes a mistake, they crash. I mean, there's no street lights, there's no red, green, any colors light. Anywhere, even the major city of Kampala, which is their capital, there's no lights. They go. It's just first come, first serve. And if you're smaller than what's next to you, you watch out for yourself. So, It's just crazy. And it rained a couple of days and they're out there in the rain. And then you see one taxi taxiing another taxi. The guy in the back of the taxi is carrying his Bota Bota on the back seat. So it's a motorcycle on top of a motorcycle along with two people. It's just crazy. And then they transport
Yeah.
all their bananas and all their stuff. It's just crazy. So,
Wow. What's the terrain like? Is it mountainous?
it's kind of like Honduras. It's got it's not flat, but it's got rivers that run through different spots, a couple of large mountains nearby, and then there's a large lake on the border of Kampala, that I think they use for tourists and recreation. So, and the people are just sweet. I mean, again, World Help took us, and I gotta say it was pretty cush because we stayed at a Hilton, and I had some guy from Uganda who was waitstaff that would make me a caffè latte every morning with the little pineapple or something in
There you
it. Like, yeah.
Fancy.
So, yeah, we did get to do a trip out to one of their national parks and see some lions, a leopard, and a tree, their national bird, which is a really interesting bird. Almost back in the day when we called the curly hair of Afro Americans afros, it looks like this thin pedestal to this afro on top of this bird's head, or I guess the clown would be another one, the orange Ronald McDonald clown's hair. So, but it's a strange looking bird. And then they've got some gazelle that is so dumb that it'll run from a lion and about 3 seconds later forget what it was doing and then stop. And then the lion will catch up and all of a sudden I'm running away from the lion and then stop and then go and stop and go.
Play a
It's
tag. Oh my
like,
goodness.
it's crazy.
Did you get to go to was there any kind of pastors or church or people out of
We
the church
did,
that
yeah.
helped
So
you?
the other thing, one of the first days we went to a school, and it was 2,500 kids. 40 of
Wow.
them were from Sudan, so they snuck them across the border because again they're at war, so they don't want their kids taken. And it was a Samaritan church slash a hospital, place for kids to stay. They had a whole girls' dorm. The boys' dorm was much smaller, probably denser living as well. But yeah, I mean, we walked into their worship and they were jumping up and down, singing the music, and it was, amazing. This you could feel the Holy Spirit in there.
It's actually really cute. He has some video of it. We didn't know we'd be doing this tonight, but just the room is full and the kids are going crazy and
Yeah.
it's good to
All in
see.
all their uniforms. They dress in their school uniform,
Very clean.
and they know English. They speak on the stage in English. So their native original language was Swahili. Now we speak. Most of them don't speak Swahili, but they speak a Ugandan language. I don't think it has a name. But yeah, so sign memorized then, and I'm now forgotten already. God bless you. And Swahili, because I figured more of the older folks and the younger ones would probably know it. And then I could say it in American English. But here was the other profound thing. So we broke out into a men's group, and there was probably 50 Ugandan men from 18 to probably 60 in the group. And there were three of us. One was a finance guy, Joe. Matt, who is the VP of IT security,
Don't say where.
yeah, I won't say where,
For healthcare.
healthcare,
Oh,
secret
healthcare.
agent, and Matt ran the trip, so it was the three of us, and they asked, we're here from America, do you guys have questions? And so the first question I asked was, it seems like America is run by Satan. I'm like, I came from California. And it's like, I can't disagree with that. I mean, if I took I took a leap back like I did when I looked at Catholicism as a kid. I'm like, if I was some alien coming from an alien planet and people worshiping the way they did with incense and things like that, you think it's kind of, weird, cultish maybe even, but it's not. That's the way that people worship, right? So, same with the Holy Spirit. You go to a Pentecostal church, there are things that's part of the Holy Spirit that I haven't seen, and now I have. And or like when we went to Haiti, you see voodoo.
So
And
what was your guys' response to the question?
I think luckily Matt and those guys,
Yeah, what'd you
Matt
say?
Greenberg, so they were like, that's an interesting perspective because they didn't disagree. They're like, I think, a lot of America is Christian. It's just that we're tolerant of things and that we haven't really spoken out like we probably should have, especially the American church. And we need to because it's changing. Look what's going on in the world and those things. So, and obviously this was around, so it was October. When was Hamas attack? October 7th.
October 7.
Yeah, so it was
So
pretty recent.
just
Yeah.
after. So that's where I commented was, I mean, look, I think Satan is alive and well in this world. And I think that could be fairly well evident from what happened in the Gaza Strip and what's going on with Israel. So because that's not normal human behavior. And it's got to be a demonic spirit or something that's going on in those individuals to allow them to even do that. Because I don't know how you separate yourself, right? So and I was saying that, I think yeah, I can't argue with what you're saying. I think that, we need to be stronger in our faith, bring 100% truth, but at the same time, be empathetic and understand that whatever we're talking about, we're all people, all bleed the same. You guys bleed like I do.
Amen.
So
We
we all
all
face the
bleed that.
same sins. And so it's hard to, we shouldn't point fingers, we should try and understand.
Did you find when you were there that, of course, I've never been to Africa. I've been to a lot of other places in the world, Israel and everything, but Egypt. And I noticed with people that I felt it was true. I wonder what you thought about this here in Africa, that people used to say to me, when you get somewhere far away from the United States, far away from the church and Christians, that once the name Christ or Jesus Christ comes up and you say the word, I'm a Christian or something, and that person's a Christian, that there's this unsaid bond that's just like there. It's just like you unite together spiritually. And they say, I don't know how to put it in words, Joe. Did you sense that when you were talking to the people?
Totally, yeah, completely, yeah.
Yeah.
When we went to the clinic, they had like a recovery room slash ER temporary holding, and this gentleman was in there who's Buddhist, so it wasn't Christian, but all the staff were Christian and they're open-handed and helped him out. He'd been in a car accident, had a bad leg and a wound that was being treated. That was getting better. And then literally, that was when we just toured the clinic before we actually worked there. And then the day we worked there, his wife, who he was discharged, went home and his wife came in pregnant. And so I got to see, kind of the whole family. And I was like, and he just was, I mean, I think it's like the Christians outside of Rome, right? The Romans were, what do you guys have that we want that? Why are you celebrating when you've been exiled, right? And we just open-handedly help people. And that's what he saw was like, I think I want this. So again, who knows what the ripple was. But yeah, but otherwise, all the other people, like I said, the first one was in the church, seeing the people from that church and surrounding area. So they were all believers. But, yeah.
Wow, that's it.
And the other thing we did, which is probably going to be so good for that area, is half the group put in computers, a whole computer, like 20 computers, as a classroom. And they can learn how to run Windows. They can learn how to do Google, they can search Google for anything they want because they've got many. I mean, they're going to be IT specialists in a week over what I'm sure their government has, and probably well-trained adults.
One of the neat things about that computer lab, because all the things that are brought, that team also has to fundraise for. So they wanted the ones that are the little tiny computer brains. And one of the guys that attends the church, he works at Intel, which is huge in the area that we moved from. And then the other person that helped is a 16-year-old. He might be 17-year-old now. He's very good friends with our boys, and he is just a computer science kid. And so they
Wow.
set it up, and they were teaching people. And ironically, that family, his dad is the leader, and his mom was the leader too. They had come to us years before when we brought our boys very young on mission trips. Everybody told us we were crazy. And they were the family that said, "Would you mind having a barbecue and just talking to us families about what it's like taking your children? Is it really unsafe?" And so we did that. And after that happened, all these other families started going out and doing mission trips. And what's so neat is I think they've gone 4 or 5 times to Uganda, that particular family. And so this was the first trip that Craig got to go on with them. So it's neat how it kind of comes full circle. And actually, their daughter is 18, and she's doing her second leg with YWAM right now, and she's becoming a midwife. So they have all fallen in love with being missionaries.
One of the ladies on the trip had lost her husband within the last year and a half. And before he'd gone, the two of them donated all the windows to the church that we were seeing people in. And so she got to actually see the windows in place, and he never did. But I'm like, and they had been, I think they'd been to this same church before, at least a couple times. So before we ever even knew about it, we also knew about it because it's one of the places that Steph's nonprofit for, water put in. They collect like clean rainwater that then gets filtered into tanks and it gets stored in the tanks. So, when you don't need to drill a well if you have enough rainwater to filter it and put it into a tank. So,
Great.
and so I got to see that. But there was a trip that Matt and Cindy went on that got to see it, and we just say, hey, could you take some pictures to show that it works? And then we know it's up and running. So,
Oh, that's great. You can't outgive God. That's awesome, isn't it? To know that you had a part in helping all those. Just think of the little kids and their moms and getting water for their children that they didn't know where to go, what to do. That's awesome. We used to send a lot of missionaries to Africa too. I never went because I had one of those senior adults, and even though they started at 55, they didn't not too many. Those people were already busy with Texas men, like our friend Ray, Richard Ray. Those guys, they were all in that group with Richards in there and everything. But to go and to see something and to come back later and see that it's blessed a life and it's changed people. And there was that movie. Y'all remember the movie about the little boy who somebody helped him that way? And I don't know the whole story, but he learned how to, with the computer, get water for his people. It was an award-winning movie, and that helps a lot. Now I'm going to have to go Google that up. I sent that message down there. See if they'll Google that up for me.
we'll send it to Uganda. We'll probably find it for you.
Yeah, little boy. He was only 11 years old, and he figured the whole thing out. Figured it, and the people put it together, and the whole community had fresh water thanks to this little boy. And one church or one group had got stuff to him to help him. So that's incredible.
It's talking to the people listening, you need to do it. You need to try it. You can do mission work at home too. I mean, some major city next to you, I'm sure there's homeless that could use health bags, things with washcloths, toothpaste, toothbrushes, that kind of stuff, a little bit of food that they can eat. Remember, they don't have teeth, so apples are not doable. But I mean, the feeling you get when you're there, and I'll tell you that I don't sleep on planes, and so it was an over 24-hour trip.
Because
So
he's tall.
I was awake the whole time. So
Overseas.
yeah, I just don't fit in a small plane to fall asleep.
I think that's one of the hindrances for a lot of people to go to Africa is the length of time and then the cost of the flights to get there because it is such a long journey, right? It's
How many stops, y'all, Steph? How many stops you have to go through?
left from Georgia to Amsterdam, and then Amsterdam to we went to Rwanda, which is beyond Uganda, and then they dropped a few people off. It was almost like a bus, and then they jumped into Uganda where we got off, and then loaded our stuff into vans and went to the hotel. So.
Amazing. How you doing up there, Paul? Amazing. What do you think?
I think that we live in a topsy-turvy world, don't we?
Amen.
I think the rest of the country comes to the United States because we have so much, and we go to other countries because they have so little. And we learn from them. This is a I'd like to make a statement to Tank and about Tank and what I've observed over the last 4 years.
Amen.
And one of the things I really appreciate about you, Tank, and Steph as well, but as Tank has spoken, you have such a childlike insight and faith
Amen.
that's so humbling because we lose that child likeness. We somehow or other, we kind of get upside down and become very childish and go after each other and attack each other and blah, 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 blah. But I never hear that from you. I always hear this just a simple thing, which is so stunning when you stop to think about it. And Jesus said, if you had the faith of a child, my goodness, look what that means. And I'm one of those people who kind of live, I don't kind of live, I live vicariously through the great adventures of other people, because, God's got me tucked away in Lompoc, California, doing, different things. But I know that when I see your heart, Steph, you as well, when your hearts are moved because of what you've experienced, it's a genuine move of the spirit. It's not something made up for a radio podcast. It's just genuine. And I think that's what people relate to. Mungu Aku Bariki, which is Swahili for God bless you. So I'm just,
That is all that.
just be blessed. Just be blessed. And thanks for blessing so many with just your simple childlike faith. I wish the American church could grab that again,
Amen.
and hold on to that. So that's kind of my insight. Great adventures. I mean, my goodness. How the question to you, I know that impacts you. Would you consider it to be a long-term impact? I mean, does something kind of fundamentally, is it undergirded or something you see? I mean, it's not. It's not something you just see and say, oh, that's exciting, walk away and, blah, blah, blah. You walk away changed,
Oh, I walk away changed every time. And then the great thing is that Steph makes collages of the trip from the photos, and I put them up in my office or the hallway, and just and so it does two things. One is it reminds me to be humble and where I am and who I am and what I'm blessed to do. And then third, or second or third, it opens the door. So people will ask, what's that? What's it about? And then if they're Christian, they go, oh, yeah, I want to do that. And it opens the door for me to have a discussion about Christianity and those things. And thank you, Paul, for what you said. Steph would say that I stopped growing at the age of 12. So, it's just me.
Yeah.
Only responsible for where he has to be,
Yeah.
Yeah, go
And
ahead.
as just a technical question, why were you not approved to be a surgeon? Why just a physician?
They don't trust anybody else. And the reality is, there's parts of the country that are still what they call old school. Because when I talked to the doctor that was going to help run this, I said, yeah, I'm old school, meaning I was trained from head to toe versus the general surgeons now are trained more focused about, abdomen, maybe trauma, no vascular, no thoracic, a little bit of oncology, but not the whole breadth. I'm like a family practice doc of surgery, so
Right.
a dying breed, so to speak. And I God put me through residency at the perfect time. The first 3 years was all open, so big incisions and a lot of pain. And then the second half of 3 years with the laparoscope and putting the camera in instead of and minimal invasive surgery, MIS and stuff.
So why wouldn't they let you?
So that said, they just don't. They don't. There's no way that they could trust the credentialing. You are who you say you are. So my tack was hope that one labor and delivery C-section room was further along, and then I could come and possibly teach, because I think that was the route that I had a discussion with our doc with, was if you come as like a professor or knowledgeable, then you'll gain authority and then be able to do stuff further along.
Which is kind of how it evolved with the group that we go with in Honduras, because they were watched very closely. And then when they saw what they were able to do, they said, come and do whatever you want, right? So it's this caution, which is interesting because both places you still had to submit your medical license. I mean, you go through the whole process to show that you are a legitimate, professional, but it's interesting.
And like I said, the big hospitals were overwhelmed. That's where this particular doctor worked. And they do practice new school, meaning surgical technique that involved, sterile preps and all that stuff, versus some outlying communities that were old school where they're not using alcohol or betadine to prep the skin, and so they have a huge infection rate. So they're behind in medicine. And what they're seeing, interestingly, is that same thing that's happened in America, is that things have become more subspecialized. So you may just be, a gallbladder surgeon or something like that there. So and that may make some sense, because if you don't have mentors, and it is like an apprenticeship, you start out with small things like hernias and appendectomies, and when you show yourself that you're able to do those things and you build a trust with the professors, they give you bigger cases to do. And as you progress, then they leave you more on your own towards your chief year. So, which is, it's an amazing process. But I still scratch my head when I meet someone for the first time in my office and they have trust in me, and I'm gonna clamp their aorta, all their kidneys, and open up that aneurysm and sew on a piece of plumbing, a graft tube, and then reopen everything and restore the blood flow to his legs and or her. And they see me once or twice beforehand, and then we're off.
You have a doctor face. I'd trust him, wouldn't you, Paul? I mean,
Absolutely.
absolutely.
This program is probably not as good for those people, because I told them I was in every principal's office from elementary to high school.
Read the book. Yeah, I love it.
Well,
You brought a tool.
the first one was like that, because I
Yeah.
was candy in elementary school.
Well, you brought joy into groups of people, and people love that. And you can look back now and say, you might have gotten in trouble then, but God always meant those things for good. It gave everybody a lift, I was always bailing Paul out of trouble at Hardin Simmons University.
Always. There's no question. They're still looking for me.
Well, we start hearing your voice mumbled and blurred
Well,
image on, and we'll know all that stuff.
that's why I'm tucked away in Lompoc.
Right.
But nobody knows my legitimate address is the federal prison.
Real name.
So obviously Joe failed one time.
Oh my goodness. It's just great to
And
be family.
yeah,
Yeah.
I didn't mention the second question, which was like a 180 degree turn for them. So the first one was that they think that Satan rules our country, but the other one was interesting perspective as well. So it was like, you guys are the biggest country that goes out and helps and donates and supplies other countries, and yet you have the largest deficit in the world. How can you do that?
Credit card.
So we have a big heart and we keep spending above our means.
Yeah.
And I, Joe, the finance guy, goes, yeah, it's going to run out someday.
Exactly. Yeah, it's gonna run out. Oh my goodness.
Shame.
Well, folks, as you listen tonight, I mean, there's so many sources, so many things God's done in our lives, and wow, what exciting stuff he's done in the Thayers' lives. And I think they've come through bumps in the road. We come through bumps, and God not only paves them over, but flies us over them. So we learn things, and maybe God's working in your life. Maybe there's things in your life, like Tank's been sharing about, that you got big questions, but you've got a big God who knows the answers to those. And I just always say, and Tank, we talked about this when we had coffee that morning. Is it? Sometimes you just need to get a cup of coffee, or if you don't drink coffee, whatever, sit down someplace that's quiet and be still, let everything calm down, and just know he's God, he's there, and you don't have to explain anything to him. He already knows what you're looking at. I really like it where you remember Paul, the I ams that he gave in the Bible. I just love, I can't remember them all. Like, I'm the life. I'm the bread of life. I'm the light of the world. I try to think of a couple. I'm the door you go through. But the greatest one of all is what Tank is saying there, that they asked him, they're going to take him out. Remember, Paul? Not that we were there. We just read the verses a lot like you. But he said, "Who are you?" Don't you ever feel like when you get crushed in by God on all sides, you want to say, "Who are you and where are you?" You know the answers, but you want to hear it again. We know he died on the cross, but you kind of want to see him touch you a little bit. And this answer always gets me. And I was thinking about it while you were talking about the poor lady in the first part. Jesus looked at him and said, "What?" Two words: "I am." That drove him nuts. And I wrestle with that, because God didn't say to me when I have the struggle, he didn't say, "Joe, don't worry, I was." "Joe, don't worry, I will be." "Joe, I am." So whatever you're facing this day, he's going to take you through it. And there's a story of lives, and they can tell you things of what you've been through. Some night we're just going to have you all call in, and we'll pray, and we'll share about some of the things you've been through, and have tank of people pray for you right here. By the way, last week, Stephanie, appreciated your prayer. I got a word back on that. Thank you for praying for that wonderful lady who's running, and she
Yes.
meant an awful lot to her. Thanks.
You know what's so weird, or just a small world? I posted in my stories on social media about her. I had two friends that wrote and said, "I grew up with," they knew her maiden name and her married. Like, I grew up with all of those kids in Bakersfield. What?
Wow. Small world. Well,
It
that's
is. Yeah,
amazing.
I
It's just
know.
amazing.
It's wild.
Oh, well, ladies and gentlemen, we're so glad that you're with us. We just say, hey, friends, because you are our friends. We've never got to see you yet. But someday when we have the big Raising Expectations gala and we rent the Biltmore and you're all invited, we'll already be in heaven, all of us. It'll be real special there. But we want to thank you. Some of you make it possible. And for those of you that share from your heart and finances to help us, I just want to say thank you. I don't have any trouble as a pastor, neither does Paul, and neither does a surgeon here, to say thank you. But now I'm going to pitch it to the one who's real good at saying, help us out. So it's an end around a Statue of Liberty play. Here's the ball, Steph.
Listen, I don't know how Craig got away with not doing this, but I understand Paul and Joe. One of the not so fun parts of being a pastor is that they have to ask for income. And honestly, it's kind of ridiculous that they have to ask for income, because that is biblical. When you go to the dwelling place, when you are fed, it's something that we should be doing, right? We should be eager to do it. I was actually just reading about the tabernacle being made and them asking for donations. And the main craftsman came back and said, "We have more than enough." So how wonderful would that be to have more than enough, you guys? And the reality is, as believers, we do have more than enough. If we actually give our first fruits that we're called, we would solve all of these problems. I mean, it's kind of astounding if you look at the numbers. So With that said, I want to encourage you to go to bbsradio.com/raising expectations. That's where you can find all the details about us, the show, the books, all of those fun things, how to listen, the recordings. But at the top, we have the donation button and we have QR codes. So depending on your technological abilities, you can use either one of those. You can also at the top just reach out to Joe directly if you want to give in another way. We really appreciate that because it does take work. We have this amazing tech team that we are so grateful for. TJ makes all the magic happen for us in the background. There's a lot of things that go on that you don't know about if you've never had to do a show, right? So we just appreciate you. We appreciate you coming and spending your latte money with the pineapple on it on the show and making your latte at home. So there's all the goodies. There's past shows. There's information about each of the co-hosts and Ron, who we missed tonight. And then I think the books. Yeah. So there's Pastor Joe's book. There's Craig's book. And we're just thankful that you come and spend some time with us. We love and appreciate you guys.
Very, very much. Very, very
Hey,
much.
Joe, the name of the movie that you talked about is The Boy Who Harnessed the Wind.
That's it. That's it, Paul. That's it. Thank you.
You're
welcome.
That's it. The boy who harnessed the wind.
The boy who harnessed the wind.
Thank you, brother. Thanks. That was it. Pretty moving story.
Wow.
Yeah. Greg, thanks for sharing that, a little bit of that special time that God sent you there to minister to. And thanks for ministering to me tonight. I really appreciate hearing those things. And Paul and
Amen.
Steph, thanks again for sharing for us and helping us. And she's been doing some great stuff, getting the word out to folks. And so we're just excited. And our prayer is always that God meets you, each and every one of you listening tonight. I've got my phone coming up here, and there's a thing coming up reacting to your show, reacting to Raising Expectations. We pray that God meets you at the deepest points of your needs, where only you and He know what they are, and only He and you in cooperation can get them taken care of. So that's our prayer for you tonight. We love you and we appreciate you. And that goes for you too, TJ, if you're listening. Like she said, taking care of all these things for us all the time. You're a great young man. We love and appreciate you. And we love BBS Radio and TV. It's great what they do for us. So, anybody have anything they want to close off with? We've got like 1 minute there.
Just love all you guys.
I do actually. Every day that he was gone, I would get these notes. Every time I turn around, your husband is praying, which is he's not usually an outward prayer person. And so I love that God might put you in positions where you're not going to be able to use those easy go-to gifts that you know you have. But maybe he's going to stretch you and ask you to use another gift that you do have that maybe you're not as comfortable with, right? And you can do that in your home. You can do that in your neighborhood. It doesn't have to be in Uganda, but I loved hearing that about you because I know it was pushing your comfort zone.
Yes, God always uses you, uses both of you, huh, Paul? Uses them
That's
all the
right.
time. You bless our lives. We go back a long way. And we're blessed by both of you. And Ron, too, bless his heart. I hope he's having a great time with his wife tonight. Very, very special birthday. That's always a neat thing. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for tuning in. And anybody have anything they want to say in the on the exit? Okay. All right. Well, we'll look forward to seeing you same time and same station next week, BBS Radio Television. And look us up on there. And make sure you look up Steph's web and get this out together. And what's the name again, real quick,
Of what?
of your website?
Oh,
What?
my website? Wellnesswithsteph.com.
Wellness for Steph. Yeah, I had it. I would have had it right. See there? I would have had it right. Yeah, check out Wellness with Steph too. Find out what's going on. It's really good. And get the recipe for the chicken soup.
Yeah, it's yummy. I just put it up.
All right. God bless and keep you. We'll see you next week, be safe and walk with Jesus. All right. See you next week.
Yes. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.